First speaker is Dr. Jackie Joseph Silverstein. She received her PhD in cell biology from City University of New York. She was acting dean of liberal arts and sciences and associate provost for academic affairs at St. John's University. She then moved to the University of Connecticut, where she was appointed associate vice chancellor in 1999 and was instrumental in crafting UConn's first seamless articulation agreement with a community college. From there, she moved in 2004 to Cuyahoga Community College and is currently the executive vice president for academic and student affairs there. Please help me in welcoming Dr. Silverstein. Thank you.
Thanks, AJ. Good morning, everyone. It's such a pleasure for me to be here today. Usually when I'm sitting up in front of a group of people, I'm speaking to faculty and administrators. I don't often get to speak to students and postdocs anymore. And so when I was asked if I would speak, I jumped at the chance. One, because I really was excited about talking to students and postdocs, and two, because who doesn't like to talk about themselves? And that's what you were asking me to do today. So let me ask you all a question. Has anyone in this room aspired yet to be an administrator in higher ed, to be a dean or a provost? Is there anyone? Wow, there are a few in this room. I'm actually surprised, because I have to tell you that I did not aspire to be what I am today when I was one of you sitting in those chairs. It actually kind of came a little bit later for me that this might be a pathway for me. And this slide kind of says it all. How many of you know who Yogi Berra is? Excellent. Well, you probably know that Yogi Berra had some interesting phrases that he would use, like, it ain't over till it's over. Well, another one he used to use was, when you see a fork in the road, take it. And that's actually how I think about my career. There have been many forks in the road, and I've taken them. And so as I talk to you about my career pathway, I hope you'll listen to those places where there were forks in the road. So first of all, some of you have aspired to be administrators, so I suspect you know a little bit about the traditional organizational structure of colleges and universities, at least the ones that you've all been associated with. Usually there's a college president, and there's a provost, or sometimes the provost is called the academic vice president. There's a senior student affairs officer, and then there's that sometimes dreaded chief financial officer. Depends where you sit in the organization as to how you get along with the chief financial officer. And then you have the deans and all of those academic enrollment services pieces that report into the provost. This is a pretty traditional university structure. If you went to school at a small liberal arts college, you probably wouldn't have a provost. You might just have a dean. Well, where I am, well, first of all, let me show you this slide, which just kind of points out to you the traditional pathway in higher ed administration. And very often faculty go on first to become department chairs, and then the next step is dean, academic vice president, and president. So that's a very traditional pathway. And I can tell you that most of those people, when they're faculty, they don't aspire to be presidents. They aspire maybe to be department chairs at that point in time. So at Cuyahoga Community College, we have a little bit of a different but parallel organizational structure. Right now, we have 31,000 students enrolled in credit courses at our institution, and we have three major campuses and are getting ready to offer a fourth campus. So the way we're organized is we have a college president who has, right now, two senior officers reporting in, and that is the executive vice president for finance and administration, who handles all the money, all the things having to do with security, human resources, all of those kinds of things, and the executive vice president for academic and student affairs, who is me. And basically, I am the provost and the chief student affairs officer rolled into one at the institution. And instead of having deans reporting to me, I have the campus presidents reporting to me. And each of those campus presidents then has their own little internal structure with student affairs deans and academic affairs deans. So I am one of the two senior offices in the institution, working with the college president, really on big picture priorities for the institution. We make decisions around budget, around facilities, around human resources. And then I'm also working with the campuses and the priorities and the strategies to move those campuses forward and to provide the kinds of programming that our students need. Okay, so what do I do every day? This is one of the things I always have trouble with. I have trouble articulating what it is I do every day. So I asked my assistant to kind of just take my calendar and do a compilation day in the life of Jackie Joseph Silverstein. And I tried to get her to start the day at 7:30, because that's when my day starts. But she said, what, do you want to scare all those people? No one's going to want to become an administrator if they see you start your day at 7:30. So we started at 8 o'clock instead. And so I just picked some things that may give you a good idea of the kinds of work someone at my level in the organization do. We have a faculty union, and I work very, very closely with the union leadership. The president and I meet every month, and we talk about issues, and we also talk about projects that we work on together as faculty and administration. But right now, we're in the middle of negotiations with our faculty for their next contract, and I'm one of those behind-the-scenes person who actually helps to shape what the college's desires are in terms of those negotiations. So after every couple of negotiation meetings, we all get together, we hear from the team where we are, I put my 2 cents worth in where I think we need to be going, and we move forward from there. Capital budget discussions with the Executive Vice President for Finance. Right now, we're talking about how to take, we're lucky enough to have many of our projects come in on time and under budget. So that under budget gives us an extra pot of money to spend. Right now, we're talking about how to spend that money on renovating new facilities at the campuses. Then we do things like review policies. That's kind of boring. That's not one of my favorite things to do. But we have some exciting initiatives all the time. Being at a community college, the mission is to really meet the needs of your community. So we have lots and lots of external partners, the businesses and corporations in the area. And just like you here in Nashville, we are building a medical mart in the city of Cleveland. And right now we're looking at how we might partner with that medical mart with some of our allied health programs and nursing programs that we have on the campus. And this meeting would be a brainstorming meeting with the allied health and nursing team to talk about how that partnership might work and what we could offer the medical mart so there could be a win-win relationship between the two organizations. And then we do strategy work. I meet with my campus presidents. Right now we're talking about how we might restructure our library system to better support our students and to help our students be more successful. And then at the very end of the day here, I stuck in kind of a personal, one of the few personal things I find time to do, which is I sit on a board of a program to teach entrepreneurship to urban youth. And I'm chair of their programming committee, and right now we're talking about how we can effectively deliver a program with less money, because like everyone else with the economy the way it is, a lot of the donations have become much less over the last couple of years. So this is a day in my life right now as Executive Vice President of Academic and Student Affairs. How did I get here? And this is really the fun part, I think. Listen for the forks in the road, because every time there was a fork in the road, I took it. I should point out, sometimes I looked for those forks, and I might have even seeded those forks, but other times things happened serendipitously, and the forks just kind of appeared in front of me. And in every instance, I took the fork, and one of the other things I like to say to people, besides if there's a fork in the road, take it, is if a door opens in front of you, walk through it, because even if you think it's something you might not want to do, you always learn by walking through that open door. You might learn that, well, I was right. This is not something I would want to do. But usually you learn something that's going to help you in the next job that you take. So it's never a bad thing to walk through those open doors. What's bad if you spend all of that time then after you've walked through it thinking about what you should have done instead. Don't ever think about what you should have done instead. Seize that opportunity and get everything you can out of it. And I have some examples in my career that didn't go as I thought they might have went. So We'll go back one slide. Now, I don't have any more slides for the moment. I'm just going to tell you my story. Many, many, many years ago, I was sitting where you were. I was a grad student, and then I went on to do a postdoc. I was a postdoc for 2.5 years at NYU Medical Center. And interestingly, 2.5 years turned out to probably be too short a time to do a postdoc. But I was actually beginning to realize that I had taught as a grad student, and I missed teaching. And I not only missed teaching, but I was itching for the opportunity to get involved in committee work, in design courses, and make decisions that were going to have a little more of an impact on the students and the departments that I was working in. And I remember a senior postdoc saying to me, "Why do you want to leave?" And I explained to him, just as I said to you, what I was thinking. And he said, "I don't understand why you would want to do that." Well, for some people, the straight and narrow research pathway is the right pathway. For me, it wasn't the right pathway. So after 2.5 years, I applied for a tenure-track faculty positions, or several of them, that would allow me to follow my passion for teaching and also to do some research. So I didn't look for a job in Research One universities. I went to what in those days were called Doctoral One universities. They have a few graduate programs, mostly master's level programs. And the place I went, which was St. John's University, did have a PhD program in biological sciences. So I ran a research lab, and I taught lots of graduate courses and an occasional undergraduate course there. And I really, really enjoyed that. But once I got tenure, I was thinking, I've been on these committees. That's really fun. But I really would like to do more of that. And there was a job that became available in the Office of Grants and Research. And this was one of those times where I looked for the fork in the road. Turned out not to be the right fork in the road, but that's okay. I actually looked for it. And I asked the administration, I said, "Would you give me a chance at this administrative position? I think I might like to do administration. I'm not sure." And St. John's had a very small grants office. We had very little grant funding. And basically, I was eligible for the job just because I had written and gotten grants. That was the main criteria for getting this job. And so they gave me that opportunity, and it was a wonderful learning experience for me. I learned that the university was bigger than the biology department. Hard to believe. I learned that there were faculty in other departments doing wonderful, wonderful work. And I got to help many of these faculty who had never written a grant before write their first grants and get funded. So from that perspective, it was a great job. In other perspectives, it was still not the right job for me. It was, most of you have written grants. At the last minute, you have faculty members rushing down to the grants office, wanting you to Xerox their grants. They're all in, if it's a program project, they're all in different formats. It's the last minute, and you have to put them together into the right format, and that was just too little control for me. So then a serendipitous fork came along. The dean of liberal arts and sciences had been asked to take another position for a year, and he came to see me and he said, "You know, I remembered once having a conversation with you, and you said you might be interested in administration and in being a dean. Would you like to be acting dean of the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences for a year?" He said, "Of course, if you love what you're doing, you know, I would understand." And I said, "Well, actually, I was thinking about going back to my laboratory because I don't love what I'm doing at all." And so I went on to become Dean of Liberal Arts and Sciences for the year. And that was when I found myself. Again, it allowed me to see the bigger picture the way I had done in the grants office, but it was the kind of job that allowed me to have some more control. It was a job that involved working with people, building teams, problem solving. All of these administrative jobs have something that, for me, is just wonderful, and that is you never do the same thing twice. Every day is different. Every day there's a new schedule. Every day there's a new problem. And if you like challenges, and if you get easily bored, administration can be for you. So at the end of that year, I was lucky enough that the provost had kept his eye on me, and he had he said to me, "When you're done with your year as liberal arts and sciences, I want you to come and work for me as the Associate Provost for Academic Affairs. So I did that, and that was a wonderful learning experience, and the Provost was a wonderful mentor to me. I was able to watch him, and with any mentor, a piece of advice I would give you is don't just learn to do what they do. Watch them closely, because even mentors don't do everything right, and you can learn what not to do as well by watching your mentors. So I learned a lot from that mentor, and I also, those were really my first opportunities to work closely with unionized faculty. I worked on helping the university get programs approved by the state. We worked on strategic planning. It was a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. And I never really thought what I might do beyond that, but my boss would occasionally say to me, Jackie, you know, you need to be a provost or a president. And I said, I do? He said, yes, you have what it takes to be a provost and a president. And I had never considered certainly being a college president, but I thought about it, and I thought long and hard about it. He might be right. I might like the kind of work presidents do, but I don't know because I haven't done that work. First of all, I've never managed a big, large budget. All I had managed were my grant budgets. And also, part of being a president is to go out and meet people and be a leader in your external community and raise money. And I had no clue if I could do that or not. So I went again looking for that fork in the road. And I found a job which was kind of not only a fork, but a real left turn, because it took me out of a traditional academic pathway. And that was to become the chief operating officer of a small regional campus for the University of Connecticut. So the main campus is in the middle of the state, in the middle of lots of cows, and I was actually in the part of Connecticut running a campus where there are all the major headquarters of companies like GE Capital and Xerox and Pitney Bowes and UBS. They had all their corporate headquarters in the town that my campus was located in, and I had a ball, and I have to tell you, it was the best job that I've had in my entire career, because it was this wonderful mix of the external community and the internal community, the faculty and the staff and the students, and making the external community understand the value that the college could bring to them, and helping our faculty to understand that they had great intellectual capital that they could share with the community. Well, then I took one last left turn that brought me where I am today, and I have to blame that one on my husband, who's sitting in the audience here, and he was recruited from Cornell Medical School to a job at the Cleveland Clinic. And so I started looking for a job in Cleveland. We had a deal. If I found a job, we'd go. If I didn't find a job, we wouldn't go. And I was lucky enough to be introduced to the president of Cuyahoga Community College, who at that time was looking for an executive vice president. Totally serendipitous. And I'd never worked at a community college. I'd never worked in a multi-campus environment where I was that person sitting in the district office. But I like the community college mission, which is access to students, to provide those students who might not otherwise have an opportunity for education to get an education. And I also liked the challenge that was going to come working for this huge organization with multiple campuses. So I've been at Cuyahoga Community College for a little over 6 years now, and I have to admit that I think there might be one more fork in my road. I don't know what it's going to be yet, but I do know that over the last 6 years, I have gained many, many skills. I've developed facilities master plans along with consultants. I've developed strategic plans. I've learned how to manage a $180 million budget. And I'm thinking there's someone out there who could use me, maybe in higher education as a president, maybe not, maybe in the business world. But there are all of those opportunities, and when that next door opens, I'm going to walk through it. So I just want to end with saying that you're probably thinking, oh my God, she left all those skills behind that she had learned as a scientist. No, I didn't. I use those skills every day. We make evidence-based decisions, at least in our community college we do, data-driven decisions about how to spend money, about how to prioritize our initiatives. problem-solving skills. Every day there are myriad problems to solve, and you really need to have the kinds of critical thinking skills scientists have to be a good administrator. Thinking about the what-ifs. You know, you're always thinking about, what if the experiment turns out this way? What's the next step? What if it turns out this way? What's the next step? That what-if approach is fabulous in being an administrator. It helps you think about a solution that's not just going to solve the immediate problem, but how's that solution going to impact other things 4 steps down the road? And it also, the communicating and listening skills of working as part of a team, being a scientist working in a lab, I use those skills every day. And there's just one other, these are a list of leadership skills. I'm not going to share because I'm running out of time, but I want to leave you with a quote that's something similar to what Dr. Hazeltine said. Warren Bennis is the only management guru I've ever paid any attention to, and what he says about leadership is managers do things right, but leaders do the right thing. So if you think you'd like to have a career where you're always thinking about doing that right thing, seriously aspire to administration.